Good morning. I'm Gary Gramling, and I'm going to call to order our standing room only regularly scheduled meeting for the month of September. I don't know that I've seen a crowd this large before, one other time in here. So calling to order at 9:04 a.m., the regularly scheduled meeting for the month of September, San Diego Housing Commission Board. Report that all commissioners are present, with the exception of Commissioner Moraga, who has an excuse. Obviously, everyone has an excuse. He actually has one that's approved, so it's okay. Members of the public who wish, this is a little housekeeping that I have to do every month. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda once it's proposed by submitting a speaker request form before the meeting starts. Obviously, since you don't know what the proposed consent agenda is, I'll let you wait until you hear what our proposal is, and then you can run up to see Angie and get a speaker request form. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form before the meeting starts, or, once again, now walk slowly, if you haven't done it yet, over to see Angie. And Angie's there. Make sure. Okay. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, you also need a speaker request form, and you can submit that to, once again, to Angie before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to the item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, fill out a gold-colored form. Who knows, one of these days we'll reverse the order of that just to keep us all on our toes. There's nothing intended by the choice of colors there. Having gone through that, I'm now going to ask to. I don't see any speaker request form for public comment. Having received none, we'll move to the next item. Next is commissioner comments. Commissioners, do any of you have anything you'd like to say this morning? Okay. Then we'll move. Next item is the report by the president and CEO, Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have three brief items for you. Two are personnel-related and one an event that occurred last month. The two personnel announcements, one is bad and one is good. The bad is that our CFO, Nicole DeBerg, as you all know, left us last month. She left for a much better job, assuming there is such.
Not as nice people, just a different job.
She is the new chief operating officer for the J. Craig Venter Research Institute, which is world-class biotech. As you remember, Nicole came to us from biotech and is some 3.5 years ago and is going back. And we are much better for her having been here, and with Nicole and Bobby's leadership, or Bobby Spoon, we have transformed the way that we manage our resources here, and that's no small accomplishment. For the board's benefit, I tried to keep Nicole, but there was no way. This is too good an opportunity. We are recruiting to replace her now and have some good candidates, so I'm confident about the future, but we're still going to miss Nicole. The good is to announce a promotion to you, and that is Maria Velasquez. I have promoted from being vice president from communications to senior vice president, communications and legislative affairs department. And working also under some guidance and direction from Commissioner Tassin, Maria is redesigning her job and is going to be not only taking over responsibilities for legislative coordination, particularly on the national level, local and state as well, but is also going to be looking to forge new relationships and private partnerships, which will help us look for new funding resources for our current activities, and that's always a good thing as well. So I commend, where is Maria? You're in here somewhere. In the back, as always. But I commend Maria to you as well. This is a well-deserved promotion. Thank you, Maria. I'll also point out that it reflects the excellent work done not only by Maria, but also by her staff, each one of whom is a good professional. We appreciate your service, all of you. Also, Mr. Chairman, there was one groundbreaking that occurred on August the 15th. It was at Independence Point. California Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins was keynote speaker at that groundbreaking ceremony. And this is a property that's previously known as Willie James Jones Apartments, that the board approved the loan recommendation on June the 20th. It's being developed by Chelsea Investment Corporations. And I'd like to thank Ann Kern of our real estate staff for representing the agency of that groundbreaking. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn the program back over to you.
Okay, thank you. Next, I'm going to propose that mysterious consent agenda that I alluded to a while ago, and I'm proposing that items, well, first, before I do that, I'm going to report that item 100 that shows up on the agenda for today has been pulled by staff for refinement, and then will probably be brought back to us either October or November on that. So item 103, or the proposed consent agenda is therefore items 103, 104, 106, 108, and 110. Okay, the proposed consent agenda has been moved for approval. Is there a second? Commissioner Davis has seconded that motion. Commissioner Waring made the motion. Is there any additional discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I support the recommendation on the consent agenda, and I was wanting to bring forward item 105. Is there anybody that's here today in opposition to item 105?
In opposition, right?
Right.
Okay. Doesn't appear to be.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend that we add item 105 to the consent agenda as well.
Okay. Is that a motion to amend the motion?
It is.
Okay. Mr. Waring, it's your motion. Do you have any objections to that amendment?
No, I do not.
Okay. Commissioner Davis, would you agree that your second can be amended to include that as well? Okay. Any additional discussion now? Seeing no indication of such, I'll ask approval of the consent agenda as modified. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda has been approved unanimously. All of you have received the minutes of the August 1st regularly scheduled meeting. I presume you've had an opportunity to review them. Are there any changes?
I move approval.
Okay. The minutes for August 1st have been moved approval. Is there a second? Okay. Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that motion. Any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, all in favor of approving the minutes for August 1st, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes have been approved. Okay. So now we move to item 101. Funding for fiscal year 2015 rehabilitation activities. You're going to be treated as a member, not as a guest.
Morning. Sorry about that. Ann Kern, Vice President of Real Estate Finance and Program Development. With me is Rick Vincent, our Housing Construction Program Manager for our Rehabilitation Department. Item 101 is requesting some budget changes for our rehabilitation activities to allow deployment of former redevelopment money and to assist homeowners who make needed repairs to their homes. Rick Vincent is going to give you an overview of the proposed action.
We have three staff recommendations to approve the substitution of former City of San Diego Redevelopment Agency funds in the amount of $955,776 in place of federal lead-based paint hazard control grant funds previously budgeted in the FY15 budget. Recommendation number two is to authorize the expenditure of former City Redevelopment Agency funds in the amount of $140,259 for housing rehabilitation activities in addition to the approved FY15 budget, and to authorize the amendment and increase of the FY15 budget by the amount of the increase. And the third recommendation is to authorize the expenditure of up to an additional $671,000 in former redevelopment agency funds for housing rehabilitation activities in addition to the approved FY15 budget, contingent upon the receipt of these funds from Civic San Diego. The Housing Commission has administered redevelopment funds since 1991 under the Housing Enhancement Loan Program, or HELP. The program assists homeowners with health and safety repairs to their homes, as well as energy and water conservation improvements. This funding source ended with the dissolution of the redevelopment agencies by the state in 2012. The additional funding that's detailed in the recommendations is part of the FY12 redevelopment budget that the state has allowed the city to recapture. The FY15 housing rehabilitation budget included $955,776 in lead-based paint hazard control grant funding, which was not applied for. The City of San Diego Environmental Services has applied for this grant, and our programs will be able to access the funding through the city. The overall effect of the recommendations will be an increase of $811,259 to the FY15 budget, contingent upon receipt of the $671,000. With this funding, we'll be able to assist 53 additional very low-income to moderate-income homeowners with vital repairs to their homes. Any questions?
I have one. The city's program, where the grant is being applied for the lead paint,
yes.
Are they going to be working on education and rehabilitation, or how are those funds going to be used through the city? Do we know?
It'll be strictly for lead remediation. The city's going to be receiving probably $80 million in the next 2 or 3 years from a lawsuit. So they're going to, we thought it best to consolidate that money and have one agency working, you know, coordinating it.
It's interesting because that agency is the enforcement agency for the lead paint rules and regulations that we have today. And I know that they're cramped because of a reduced number of inspectors to go out there. And I know that they've been trying to get additional ones, so I was just curious how they're planning on using that, because those inspectors they have are extremely aggressive on that, and as many contractors have found out to their dismay.
Yeah, and we we have grown to like them over the years, however.
Oh, yeah, you're looking at $30,000 penalties on a single incident in many cases, which might be something for us to make sure that all of our properties meet the lead paint rules and regulations as well. Commissioner Tessa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gentry, is there any downside to the staff's recommendation here?
That's all. No, sir, none at all, and I do support this, and this is a continuation of a 20-plus year history we have in doing lead-based paint remediation and other healthy homes activities. So I
I'll refer it to you for approval.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Okay. It's been, this proposal has been moved approval by Commissioner Tussin, seconded by Commissioner Waring. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal as submitted, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 102.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Chair Gramling, Commissioners, President and CEO Mr. Gentry, and our legal counsel. I'm Deborah Fischel Falk. I'm the Vice President of Administrative Services, and with me is Melissa Peterson, the Program Manager for Housing Assistance. This item 102 is an action item requesting an amendment to the existing contract with Lassar Consulting Services. This amendment is to increase the fiscal year 2015 contract option by $48,000, which raises the total contract amount to $248,000. This increase is for additional services that include assisting us with a notice of funding availability to create permanent supportive housing, a portfolio strategy for the preservation of single-room occupancy units in downtown San Diego, the development of a ranking and rating tool to evaluate programs that receive funds from the Housing Commission, and the reengineering the Federal Community Development Block Grant reimbursement process. Lassar is a local small, minority woman-owned business. These additional services are in line with our strategic plan goals and objectives and will assist us with achieving specific tactics associated with them. And therefore, staff recommends approval of this contract amendment. We're ready to answer any questions that you may have.
Commissioner Tussa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How long has Lassar been working for us in these efforts?
This original contract was approved by the commission in May 2011.
May 2011.
Yes.
And is staff satisfied with the work that they're doing for us?
Yes, we are. We're very satisfied.
Do we get like annual reports on the accomplishments that for the work that they're doing for us?
We do. They do submit us regular reports. Yes.
Great. It may be helpful for at year end, and maybe just to provide us a brief summary of the accomplishments.
We'd be happy to.
Great, Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Okay, Commissioner Tussin has moved approval. Commissioner Spoon has seconded that motion. I have a question, if I could, before we move forward, and because this is the discussion period for the motion. Then, first of all, according to the record here. Just a slight correction. The first year, or the contract began in May of 2012.
Yes, I apologize.
And so we've had 2 1-year extensions.
That's correct.
The contract calls for up to 4 1-year extensions.
Correct.
It is my understanding that this $48,000 increase is anticipated to only be for the current year, and that if we renew the contract, our option, in 2015, that we would be starting again with a $200,000 base. Is that correct?
That is correct. This is just an amendment to this current year option.
Okay. I have no other questions. Anyone else? Then I'll call the question.
I'd just like to mention, and I think that the Lassar Group has done an outstanding job. The reports that we've seen on the TOD, I thought, was absolutely excellent. And I know how busy they are. I know how involved they are in the homeless issue downtown. And I think we're very fortunate to have Lassar assisting us at the Housing Commission. So I just wanted to mention that.
Mr. Gentry?
If I could reiterate that, Commissioner Spoon beat me to the punch. The Lassar Company has done some wonderful work for us. They do great value added to our what we're doing here at the agency. And they have been well worth what we've invested in them. Thank you.
I'll call the question. All in favor of the motion as submitted by staff, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This item has been approved unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Now we're going to skip to item 107. Hi.
I'm just going to stay put for this one. Good morning. On June 9th, 2014, the San Diego City Council adopted, as amended, the mayor's fiscal year 2015 budget for the city, which included funds to operate the city's single adult emergency winter shelter. In follow-up, we are asking the Housing Commission to recommend the Housing Authority authorize the expenditure of $225,703 from the City of San Diego General Fund and Emergency Solutions Grant Funds in excess of the Housing Commission's approved fiscal year 2015 budget for operation of the shelter, to authorize execution of an agreement for FY15 with Alpha Project for the Homeless, totaling $457,000 for oversight and management of the shelter at the recommended site at the cul-de-sac on 16th Street and Newton Avenue in downtown San Diego, to authorize the president and CEO to substitute funding sources or increase compensation by not more than 10% of the total contract amount if necessary. We are also asking the commission to authorize the president and CEO to execute all documents and take all actions necessary to implement this approval. And lastly, we are asking the Housing Commission to recommend that the San Diego City Council find and declare the existence of a shelter crisis in the City of San Diego pursuant to and in accordance with the provisions of California Government Code Section 8698 and suspend any and all housing, health, and safety codes that interfere with efforts to mitigate the shelter crisis. Per the MOU between the City and the Housing Commission, the Commission administers the City's homeless programs, which includes the single adult emergency winter shelter. On a nightly basis, approximately 2,468 people are unsheltered within the City of San Diego. Without a safe, stable place to escape the elements, these individuals are left vulnerable to risks for health, safety, and welfare-related consequences associated with living outside. Currently, our community does not have enough emergency beds to fully meet the shelter need within the city. As a result, a shelter crisis can be declared since a significant number of persons are without the ability to obtain shelter, resulting in a threat to their health and safety. By doing so, the city is better able to address the shelter needs of the homeless population through such programs as the single adult emergency winter shelter. Historically, the shelter has operated at the 16th and Newton Avenue site located in the East Village neighborhood of downtown San Diego. In May 2013, former Mayor Sanders assembled a homeless working group made up of various stakeholders and city representatives to conduct a siting assessment. Several locations were evaluated for feasibility, and after careful consideration, it was determined that the 16th and Newton location was the most viable for the shelter. In consultation with the City of San Diego Mayor's Office and based on the previous assessment, the Housing Commission will utilize the same site for FY2015 operation of the shelter, with a plan to conduct a new siting assessment in January 2015. For the upcoming shelter cycle, Alpha Project will manage the 200-bed temporary housing program, which provides shelter, meals, and supportive services for homeless individuals during our community's coldest months. Through the Downtown San Diego Coordinated Assessment and Housing Placement System, the single adult emergency winter shelter will provide client-appropriate housing and enhanced services to at least 500 homeless single adults over the five-month operating term. Proposed funding and uses approved by this action are partially included in the FY15 Housing Commission budget. Approving this action will authorize the Commission to expend $225,703 in addition to the FY2015 budget. Funding sources approved by this action total $767,370 and will be as follows. City of San Diego General Fund, totaling $690,000 to support operations, services, administration, and other direct shelter costs such as maintenance and repair. And Emergency Solutions Grant Funds, totaling $77,370 to support assembly and disassembly of both the single adult and veterans emergency winter shelter. And that concludes my remarks. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Tessa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've had the opportunity over the last couple of years to go and see the work that Alpha Project is doing down there. I've been impressed with the work that they do. Does staff have any different perspective?
I agree with you totally. Alpha does work that is frequently they're the only entity that wants to do it. They do great work. They've served the city very well. And I think that these shelters, although it's regrettable that we've got them as sprung shelters, do serve a need for the city, and Alpha's been done a good job operating them over the years. I'll also add to Ms. Peterman's report just a couple of other items. The location for this shelter is always an issue. Since the Housing Commission became involved in administering this program back in 2010, we made discrete decisions and recommendations to the city in 2010, 2011, and 2012 after searching the marketplace, and this was the best location. So we agree with the city administration that this should still be here in case that's ever asked. And I also point out that the Housing Commission, relative not only to this item, 107, but the previous two items, 105 and 106, which were approved on consent, this Housing Commission is continuing to get more and more involved in homelessness activities. A good example of that is my appointment to a newly constituted board of the Continuum of Care this summer, which will help guide federal resources coming into the city. And we'll continue to be supportive where we can, where it fits our mission, and where what we do is financially sustainable.
The last time that we had the shelter open, it was anticipated to close long before it did because additional monies were found on two different occasions so that it could be extended. Those monies came out of the city's budget and were transferred to us. Have we had an opportunity to go through a full accounting report on that extended operation? And I ask not because I suspect anything, but simply because of the way it was extended on two different occasions with the additional monies and everything. Not sure the question is, have we had a full accounting of those funds as expanded? And did everything appear to be okay?
It sure did. We just submitted our year-end reports to the City of San Diego for all funding sources, and we did a good job spending the money.
I don't worry about our ability to spend money. I just like to make sure that that it gets spent the way that we're intended to.
It did. There were only a couple budget adjustment requests that were submitted throughout the operating term, and all those funds were spent as requested.
Okay. Commissioner Tessa?
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to move staff's recommendation. And just, you know, one of the key issues in the sensitivities of placing facilities like this is the impact on the surrounding neighborhoods. And I know that they do a great job of making sure that they have plenty of security outside these facilities to, you know, try to mitigate any kind of impact on the surrounding neighborhoods. But to the extent that we can continue to keep a close eye on that, I know that we're going to look in January of next year to begin to look at what other locations. To the extent that we can have another successful year this winter down there, I think will help the city in their efforts. So,
ask a question.
Commissioner Spoon?
How close is this to the new Monarch School?
A little
close. Is it next door?
It's within a couple blocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is that an issue?
It hasn't been. No, Alpha Project maintains good relationships with all the surrounding businesses and community partners.
My second question is, tell me exactly what it means to suspend health and safety codes.
I'm going to ask if Chuck can answer that question.
The state law that was introduced several years ago allows for various rules and regulations to be suspended to the extent it doesn't create a health hazard to individuals or occupants of the shelter. But for instance, one of the things that's allowed is with respect to the Coastal Act, as a matter of fact, one of the resolutions going forward to the city council is to suspend the duty to get a coastal permit for this activity. And in addition, there's findings under CEQA that allow a temporary facility to go forward, and rather than going through a full-blown EIR, and those are the types of things that, the suspension allows. And it's just and there was a finding by the legislature when this law came forward that there was a need to expedite in cases of shelter crisis, and that's why it's necessary to make the finding that there's a shelter crisis. In those cases, the legislature determined it was all right to relax some of the building permits and zoning requirements. For instance, normally you would need a CUP to put a tent in a street. This is, and so with regard to that, there's a relaxation of the need to go get a conditional use permit. So that's the type of thing that's involved.
Mr. Gentry?
In response to Commissioner Spoon's first question regarding the surrounding impact and any issues there, in 2010, when we first reestablished this location as a site for the shelter, there was a good bit of controversy and conversation about it. By 2012, we actually had expressed support for this shelter by the principal of the school just up the street from the Monarch School. So that, I think, is as good as an attestation as I think we could get.
Commissioner Davis?
Could I please have a definition and understand more clearly what the shelter crisis is? What defines that, makes it a crisis? It seems like one person would be a crisis, but what defines a crisis?
I certainly agree with the one person homeless being a crisis, but it is to demonstrate that there are not enough shelter beds to meet the unsheltered need. So there are about 2,500 unsheltered homeless people in the city of San Diego and only a few hundred emergency shelter beds.
Okay, so it's strictly a count, then it's numbers. And as once you go over what is covered, then it makes it a crisis because there's no available space.
Correct. If we had enough shelter beds, we certainly would not need the shelter crisis.
Yeah, if I might just add to that, in addition, the presence of any homeless people on the street create potential nuisances for the city of San Diego as a whole, and there aren't enough facilities for those folks. So to the extent there is a large number that continue out there, there's adequate basis to make that finding. And that's actually a legal finding that the city council will have to make based upon facts that go forward. And so that they've made the finding before, and we're just asking if they make that finding again.
A comment. The Downtown Partnership does an outstanding job every month of doing a census of the downtown homeless. And two trends or two facts come out from looking at those numbers every month, and that is that in the last 4 years the number of downtown homeless has increased by a multitude of a couple of hundred, and secondly, when the shelter opens, I almost never notice a reduction in the number of people on the street. And so I wonder, does Alpha do anything by way of recording where the person has been sleeping on the streets or where they've come from when they show up there? Because if I'm looking at 600 people downtown homeless in July, when the shelter opens in November, then probably in January, I'm still looking at 600 people living on the streets in downtown San Diego. So I'm really curious, what population are we serving? And, are they migrating in just for the shelter or what? So I'd like to see some kind of data on that this year.
Absolutely. One of the questions that is asked on intake is where the last place the person slept is. I'm not sure the exact verbiage, but they are capturing that information at intake and then at exit where they're headed to.
Any other comments, questions, discussion? And do I hear a motion? Okay, Commissioner Waring has moved approval of the proposal. Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that motion. Seeing, again, no indication of a discussion, I'll call for the question. All in favor of the proposal, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Next is item 109.
Good morning again, Ann Kern, Vice President, Real Estate Finance and Program Development. With me is Ted Miyahara, Director of Housing Finance. Item 109 is a funding recommendation for a development that was first brought to us in 2011. This development is listed in our three-year transit-oriented development plan as a high-priority project, and thus we were very interested in seeing this developed as affordable housing. Since 2011, the developer, Amcal Housing, has been working with us. The Metropolitan Transit Station, MTS, and the city's Development Services Department to get the project entitled, and it's now ready to proceed with financing approvals, both us and as well as state funding availability. Ted's prepared a PowerPoint presentation for you this morning that gives an overview of the various aspects of the development. With that, Ted will provide you with those details.
Good morning, Chair and Commissioners. Recommendations to the board include: recommend Housing Authority approval of a residual receipts loan for up to $6 million, and authorize the President and CEO or designee to execute all documents, adjust financing terms and conditions as necessary, and substitute funding sources as deemed appropriate. Via Encantada is a proposed 67-unit new construction project located in the Encanto neighborhood of southeastern San Diego. The 1.6-acre site is bordered by single-family and multifamily housing. Major cross streets are 62nd Street and Imperial. MTS is the owner of the property. The site currently serves as the parking lot for the Encanto 62nd Street trolley station. The developer, Amcal Multi-Housing Incorporated, has been diligently working through pre-development since 2011 and has negotiated a disposition development agreement with MTS to develop the site into a mixed-use, transit-oriented development. This is the first affordable transit-oriented development built in partnership with MTS and the city. Major terms of the agreement include a 55-year ground lease with the right to extend for an additional 44 years, 100 replacement MTS parking spaces, and provisions related to the operations, management, and use of the MTS parking facilities. The Draft Encanto Neighborhoods Community Plan update was released in June and identifies the trolley station as a core village area and key corridor that will foster growth within the community through mixed-use activity centers linked to transit, housing, jobs, and services throughout the city. The MTS parking lot is identified as a priority site in the Housing Commission three-year work plan to facilitate transit-oriented affordable housing development. Entitlements were approved at yesterday's Planning Commission meeting. Via Encantada is designed as three and four stories of housing over a subterranean parking garage. The residential project consists of 45 two-bedroom units and 22 three-bedroom units. Common areas include a multipurpose recreation room and 4,800 square feet of exterior courtyard space. The project will have a service coordinator providing free services to residents. The development also includes 1,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground floor. Ingress-egress for the residential and commercial uses have been designed separately to mitigate traffic congestions. Apartment residents will access secured parking from the 62nd Street, and that's the western elevation on the slide. Commercial and MTS riders will have access from Aikens Avenue, which is the southern elevation. The next slide depicts images of the site plan and ground floor parking layout. Commercial tenants and MTS riders will park on the ground floor, and residents will park in the subterranean parking garage. The project will comply with Housing Commission sustainability guidelines. Amcal is currently evaluating the feasibility of incorporating LEED design into the building. The development will be owned and owned and operated by a limited partnership composed of an affiliate of AmCal, Las Palmas Housing, and a tax credit investor. AmCal has developed 45 affordable housing projects throughout California and has a portfolio approaching 4,000 units. AmCal has 8 developments currently under construction. AmCal currently owns and operates 2 multifamily developments in San Diego. Mission Apartments is an 85-unit project located in the Midway Pacific Highway Corridor. The project was built in partnership with the former RDA and Housing Commission. Mission Apartments was built on time and on budget. Los Vientos is an 89-unit development located in Barrio Logan and was built in partnership with the former RDA. This project has deep affordability targeting. Rents will range from 30 to 60% of the area median income. Units will be restricted for a 55-year term. AmCal proposes to finance the development with 9% tax credit equity, conventional financing, and Housing Commission loan. AmCal will also pursue additional state funding set to be released in 2015. Real Estate Division staff will engage a consultant to complete a construction cost review. The developer will also be required to competitively bid the project to local subcontractors. Housing Commission staff has negotiated a purchase option at the end of the 15-year tax credit compliance period. The developer will apply for 9% tax credits in March of 2015, and if successful, the project would break ground in the fall of 2015. Representatives from AmCal are in the audience and available to answer any questions. That concludes our presentation.
Commissioner Waring?
So thank you for the presentation. Just a couple things. It's a technical thing. On I think it's page 5 of the staff report in the third paragraph when you're talking about the purchase option, there's a sentence in there that says there's a right of first refusal, and I don't think that's correct. I don't think it's a right of first refusal. I think it's a purchase option. Both terminologies used in that paragraph, so you might want to clarify that. And then just in general, I have the same approach to this project I have to all the others. The cost per dwelling unit is over $400,000. I've never understood it, and I probably never will. So and I understand this is a conditional recommendation that you're asking for here, but as we've said in past hearings of similar types, if this comes back for approval, I've just got to, before I can approve something like this, just have to understand why those numbers are so outrageous. And again, I recognize the subsidized nature and the inefficiencies of the finance tax. It's a very inefficient system. And one of the reasons we keep bringing it up is in the hope that by banging on this issue all the time, we can figure out a way to almost undo and redo how we build this housing from the ground up, having nothing to do with this particular project, so we get more for the public's money, because I just don't think we get anywhere near the housing stock we need in the aggregate for the dollars that are spent because of structural problems inherent in how these projects are conceived and built and operated.
Commissioner Tesson?
We are awaiting a cost study from the Department of Housing and Community Development this fall, and staff has had internal discussions about the need for a real estate committee meeting where we discuss and disclose those findings and show the developments on a side-by-side basis and have some dialogue on what the costs are. So we will be setting that up this fall.
It's not a new issue.
I know, but I almost felt like applauding when Commissioner Waring was making his comments, because it has been something that we've all talked about. Obviously, it recently made it into the press as well as a strong area of question. And as custodians of the public's money, we have to be very conscious of where those dollars are being spent and seeing if there's some way we can get, and some of these things, when we get into tax credits, those things that you need to do to make them competitive with another project, the lead requirements and things of that nature, just to get extremely onerous. When that's not our job. Our job is to, as Commissioner Waring very well said, is to get the best value so we can create the most housing for the public's money. Thank you. Commissioner Tessin, you have something?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I've only been here a couple years on the commission, and that's at the top of my list of things that really bug me about this. And you know, I'm not sure that going back and, you know, having a committee study this is the right approach. I'd prefer that we would just get a list of what are the structural issues that impact this as they do, and allow the commission to evaluate whether those are insurmountable or items that we can try to address.
Commissioner Hubbard?
Thank you. My question is regarding the parking. I noticed that there's two separate entrances. My question is it one way in, one way out of each? Like if you come in the 62nd Street, is there only, you can only go out 62nd Street or?
That's correct. I believe the residence entrance will be on 62nd Street, and the commercial MTS parking will be on Aiken. So it's one entrance in and one entrance out.
Thank you.
Mr. Gentry?
Just as a reference and as a reminder, the cost issue has been around ever since the tax credit program has been around since 1986. The cost issue first hit the press here in the summer of 2011. The Housing Commission commissioned a report from Kaiser Marston that summer. It was issued in September of 2011. It is on our website, and that gives some indication of the causes of the cost. I'll point out that the per-door cost and investment that the Housing Commission makes has a wide range based on program type, and that use of 9% tax credits is among the highest cost in the industry, if not the highest cost. But it reflects structural issues. We'd be glad to give you a report. We'd be glad to distill the Kaiser Marston report excerpted form. We'd be glad to give the board any information additional you'd like, including a workshop on this particular program and how it works.
Commissioner Waring?
And I remember that report and saw the report, and I don't know if I want to call it a rationalization of the system, but it was a mathematical-based analysis. And maybe at the end of the day, Rick, the political answer is that at the end of 15 years, the Housing Commission buys it for the unpaid loan balance, so our cost per door is substantially less than the over $400,000, and this additional money is just inefficiencies built into a financing system, and we shouldn't concern ourselves with that. That might be a legitimate position for the Housing Commission to take if we consider our 15-year cost. I could accept that. The other approach might be, because you have such a respected agency here, is for us to dig in a little deeper to, and I think that's what Frank was alluding to, dig in deeper and maybe dig in deep enough that we want to start a political process to work our way up and see whether there are structural changes above our control level to impact the conversation at a state or a national level. It's a lot of work. And it may not be productive because the bureaucracies are so entrenched and the system is so entrenched. But, I mean, you either accept it or you try to change it.
It might also be interesting sometime, and maybe on this project, go back. But take the Kaiser Marston report where it says, you know, these are the things that contribute to the additional cost. And highlight where those things that Kaiser Marston identifies are applied in this project so that we can actually just look at it and say, oh, okay, now we see what the direct impact of that particular item is on this particular project. And it might be eye-opening and certainly enlightening to all of us on that.
We can certainly build that into future reports to highlight, because there are key factors. You know, this particular one has 100 MTS parking spaces. There's about 34 or 36 bicycle spaces. There's some public improvements on the street, 3-bedroom units. So we can certainly do that in our future reports.
Chuck? or Mr. Christensen.
No.
Mr. Counsel.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to respond to Commissioner Waring's comment concerning the report on first right of refusal and option. Actually, Exhibit 5 is a summary of the non-binding terms of commitment, and the commission will have both a first right of refusal and, at the end of 55 years, an option. So if the property was sold, went out during the 55-year period, and there was an offer that came in to sell the property, the commission would have the right during that 55-year period to purchase on a first right of refusal basis. However, at the end of the 15-year period, there's a firm option at a set price. And that's paragraph 24 of exhibit.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, because the right of first refusal is really not an applicable provision, right? Because they're locked in for 15 years, and at the end of 15 years, commission can pick it up for unpaid balances, which would probably exceed any sales price.
Yeah, that's
another issue, I guess.
Yeah, that's the discretionary decision commission makes at the end of 15, and so that's at a firm price, which is set by the amount of the unpaid balance and subject to the tax credit rules that you have to be at least market and all of those other things. But in addition, during the 15-year period, there's an ability, if an offer came in, for the commission to match it if they wanted to. So two different things.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion? Go ahead. Okay. Commissioner Davis has moved approval of the proposal as submitted by staff. Is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that motion. Is there any additional discussion? I'm going to call the question. All in favor of the motion, thereby approving the recommendation from staff, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
What did I hear over here? And I'm going to say aye as well. And those opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
No.
Okay. And, Mr. Tessin, did you miss? Okay. All right. So let the record reflect that the motion, which is the adoption of the proposal submitted by staff, was approved at a number of 5 approval and 1 opposed, and then, of course, the 1 absent. So, thank you.
And if I might, but
yes.
Just to be clear, I voted no for the reasons that I stated. It has nothing to do with the quality of the project. I actually think it's a nice project. Or the developer, they do a great job. So it has nothing to do with the project or the staff recommendation or the work that was done on the project. It's more to just try to keep this issue out there.
So what you're saying is, as usual, you're standing on principle. Okay. Thank you very much. Item 111. This is a strategic plan implementation workshop.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair, Commissioners. I'm Jeff Davis, Chief Operating Officer, and with me is Senior Vice President of Real Estate, Debbie Ruwain. Earlier this year, the Board approved a 2-year strategic plan. This plan laid out the framework that would help the Housing Commission identify how it can have the greatest possible impact in fulfilling its mission to provide affordable housing for low-income families in the city of San Diego. The strategic plan takes into account diminishing federal and state resources and looks for ways to mitigate. The strategic plan will enable the Housing Commission to create and preserve quality, affordable housing, ensure long-term viability of our assets, address the chronic issue of homelessness in our city, provide opportunities for Housing Choice Voucher families to become more financially self-reliant, and help the Housing Commission foster a culture of excellence and innovation. Debbie and I will now review each of the three goals that make up the strategic plan and provide you with an update of what has been accomplished thus far. Not quite. Each of our agency's vice presidents are also here to answer any questions that you may have, and now we'll turn it over to Debbie.
Now? Okay. Good morning. Goal A is to create and preserve quality, affordable housing. These are four objectives that will contribute heavily to the accomplishment of Goal A, and I'll delve into each one of these individually on the following slides. Objective one, pursue new funding opportunities to decrease reliance on traditional funding sources for the creation and preservation of affordable housing at the lowest possible cost. Strategy one, assess new available financing opportunities, both internally and externally. Our update on this to the board is that based on our intent to reduce our reliance on typical funding sources, it arises as a result of several monumental actions which recently occurred, such as the elimination of redevelopment and sequestration. In light of the elimination of these funding sources, and in order to continue to develop affordable housing, we need to be creative and look to our own resources. One very unique and very valuable resource for the Housing Commission is our real estate portfolio, and we have therefore initiated a comprehensive review of our financial and operating performance on each and every asset. This is key in order for us to maximize our own portfolio performance, as well as identify opportunities for refinancing our assets, both of which can provide us additional capital to invest in other affordable housing properties. Update B, continuing with that concept, we are looking outside of the Commission at other funding opportunities, such as grants, and have increased our efforts internally through our grants department, as well as through assistance from a consultant that seeks or maps our mission and needs with available capital at the federal, state, and local levels. Update C, furthermore, we're completing a GPNA, Green Physical Needs Assessment, of our portfolio to plan for the next 20 years of expenditures. This is tied to our refinancing efforts mentioned on the previous slide, and among other things will help us identify and then reprioritize our refinancing efforts. Strategy 2, explore the creation of alternative investment funds for gap financing, such as debt or equity programs, or pooled investment funds for programs that address homelessness and affordable housing. Regarding Update A, the Housing Commission's loan portfolio exceeds $300 million. We believe there is an opportunity to capitalize on that asset, and although our first attempt at assessment was not successful, we still believe that there are financing vehicles out there that can help us maximize our processes and minimize our expenses, and we're going to continue researching that. Regarding Update B, several major cities have created pooled investment funds. These are financing mechanisms for the creation of affordable housing, and are created through contributions from philanthropic and financial institutions, donors, and other organizations who seek to support the creation and preservation of affordable housing. By pooling their funds, there's a greater likelihood that the funds will be put to good use and have a larger impact than if the individual agencies scatter their funds independently. We're proud of our relationship with Civic San Diego, and we'll be working collaboratively with them to craft a program that pulls from other cities' best practices and is personalized for San Diego. Strategy 3, advocate for local, state, and federal policies that impact affordable housing. Update A, our policy efforts have increased with the creation of a policy committee that assesses areas of opportunity or need related to local, state, and federal initiatives. Update B, we will also be stepping up our involvement in timely advocacy correspondence with the creation of the Legislative Affairs Unit within the Communications Department.
Regarding Update C, our president and CEO has been selected to lead the next two annual conferences of the Moving to Work Steering Committee. Of the 3,400 housing authorities nationwide, only 39 are designated Move to Work agencies, and Mr. Gentry has been asked to lead this elite group in Washington, D.C. in 2015 and 2016. We're extremely proud of this, and him. Objective two, ensure that the Housing Commission real estate portfolio is economically and physically sustainable. Strategy one, evaluate each real estate asset, develop a plan for each asset, and measure key metrics to determine performance and effectiveness. Our update on this is that following the conversion from public housing, the Commission created a portfolio management department to monitor our assets. Traditional and industry standard practices of asset management functions had not occurred here due to our previous structure, but now in our post-conversion mode, it's a critical need. Through our relationship with TCAM, or Tax Credit Asset Management in Boston, we've created policies and procedures for the oversight of all 153 assets that we own. This covers approximately 450 individual buildings and over 2,200 units. Our evaluation will include physical, financial, economic, and market analyses, and will give us the ability to identify areas of opportunity for efficiency, as well as early warning indicators and a risk analysis of our assets. Strategy two, complete the green physical needs assessment on all Housing Commission assets. As part of our portfolio management assessment, we have physically inspected each and every asset, including the commercial spaces at Courtyard and Hotel Sanford, and we're now able to quantify our need for long-term capital improvements, rehabilitation, and the establishment of adequate replacement reserves. The goal of the GPNA is a 20-year management plan for the continued maintenance, operation, and sustainability of our real estate portfolio. This is extremely critical. We need to budget each and every year, and early identification of need as well as our preventative maintenance will help us manage and budget our finances prudently and maintain our real estate in a manner that reflects positively on the neighborhoods and the commission. Objective three, ensure that the most effective and cost-efficient business practices are in place for the management of the loan portfolio. Strategy one, review all departments for areas of optimization, including automation, third-party review, etc., and create a plan for long-term management. Our update here is that after 35 years of doing business, and as mentioned earlier, the Commission has a sizable loan portfolio that exceeds $300 million. As a result of our first-time homebuyer program and our multifamily loans, we have loans both great and small. They range from approximately $20,000 all the way up to $7 million. Our excellent loan portfolio team has continually added to this portfolio. Without the benefit of a holistic review or processes, in an eye to modernization. And we'll be taking a look and seeing how we can assist them with this critical function, which may occur through automation, streamlining of processes, or other ideas which will come from industry best practices. Jeff?
So, objective four under goal A is define the Housing Commission's leadership role in the effort to reduce homelessness. And our update there is the Housing Commission began a comprehensive planning process in December 2013 to define the Housing Commission's role. The Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan is an agency-wide effort, and it will be presented to the board in the next month's board meeting, or perhaps November. The presentation to the board will include recommendations for how the agency can use its available resources, such as vouchers, federal funding, and others, to combat the issue of homelessness in our city. Update B, the Housing Commission is finalizing a model to design a rating and ranking tool, which will be used to evaluate the effectiveness of Housing Commission-funded programs based on outcomes. This tool is going to be able to set indicators of success for our partners and help us to evaluate their success, and the tool should be ready by the end of this month. Update D, the Housing Commission CEO was seated on June 27, 2014 to serve on the first governance board of the Regional Continuum of Care, which oversees federal funding for homelessness programs. The RCCC consists of 28 community leaders and is responsible for setting community goals on ending homelessness as well as overseeing the homeless assistance funding from HUD of almost $16 million. Update E, the Housing Commission is a key member of the Local 25 Cities Initiative launched in March 27th and 28th in Washington, D.C. This team is to help communities work together to end veteran homelessness by 2015 and chronic homelessness by 2016. And already one key accomplishment that this new initiative has helped to achieve is that for the first time ever, a new coordinated intake assessment system is being utilized in the downtown community that helps to more uniformly screen homeless individuals to provide them with the most appropriate intervention. We'll move on now to Goal B, which is provide housing choice voucher families with opportunities to help them become more self-reliant. We have two objectives there. And the first objective is to provide a more comprehensive customer service delivery model for housing choice voucher participants. And the strategy was to integrate the Housing Commission's Section 8 program with the Achievement Academy to create a more collaborative approach to dealing with our clients. Update is that an enhanced focus on collaboration has resulted in 533 Housing Choice Voucher participants being referred by their Housing Choice Voucher case managers to the Academy in just the last 4 months. And this is a substantial, and that's an understatement, increase for what was happening before. I would like to tell you exactly what those numbers look like, but we weren't tracking it beforehand. Update B, a new referral and outreach program model, was implemented in May for participants who request a rent decrease due to a decline in their household income. More than 100 of these referrals have happened to date. These families are reached out to by our work readiness specialists who interview the family to determine what services offered by the Academy should be used by the individual according to their circumstances in order to replace and increase the income that they've lost. Update C, internal communications among the Rental Assistance Division Unit and its Housing Commission, or the Housing Commission's Achievement Academy, have been strengthened through training and regular information sharing meetings. One example of that is a training that our inspectors, who actually are often the face of our agency for our clients, all received training designed to help them understand all the programs that are offered at the Academy and how to identify clients who would most likely benefit from those programs. Objective two was to increase the opportunities at the Academy for Housing Choice Voucher work-able participants to become more... I already read that one, didn't I? Strategy one, develop strategic programs and enhance job readiness and placement activities for the Housing Commission's Achievement Academy. The update, two new pilot programs at the Housing at the Academy provide work-able participants important skills. There was a three-day hospitality training that was conducted in February. At that training, a major hotel chain was invited to interview Section 8 participants. Of the 15 interviews, 7 were hired on the spot. And all 15 passed the food handler's test, which is a certification that will help them look for work. Strategy two is to raise awareness of and participation in new opportunities offered at the Housing Commission's Academy. In collaboration with the Community Relations and Communications Department, a draft survey was developed to identify the best tool to use to communicate with the majority of our clients who are identified as work-able. The data we received from the survey, which is scheduled to be released this month, will inform the development of a comprehensive outreach program. Lastly, Goal C, foster a culture of excellence and innovation. We have 5 objectives there, which we'll go through one at a time. Objective one was to promote a workplace environment with high employee engagement and retention. We wanted to become an employer of choice. Strategy one is to create a long-term plan that strengthens the Housing Commission's employment value. Update A, earlier this year, the Human Resource Department conducted an employee engagement survey to set baselines and benchmark the Housing Commission in comparison with 173 private and public sector peer organizations. Update B, beginning this month, the Housing Commission employee focus groups will be conducted to further explore the employee opinions and recommendations about how the Housing Commission can enhance the current work environment in the areas of employee rewards and recognition, internal communication, training, and career development. These were the 3 key areas identified in the survey. An update C, an action plan, will be developed based on those findings. Objective two, ensure that real-time data is available to make agency-wide strategic decisions. Our updates there are that our information technology department evaluated many business intelligence software applications, evaluated them, and in the end purchased the Tableau system. IT has also created a data governance team to develop a model for agency dashboards that will provide real-time information on key performance indicators. And update CIT has engaged Tableau Professional Services to develop agency-wide dashboards, and now a pilot is currently underway with our portfolio management department. An agency rollout will follow. Strategy 2, identify the most effective and cost-efficient business practices for the management of housing commission programs. An update there, departmental reengineering reviews are underway within the agency's construction services, procurement, housing innovations, and communications departments to reengineer their structures and processes, measure efficiencies, implement best practices, and ensure that they are aligned with the Housing Commission's mission. Other departmental reviews in the areas of loan management, rehab, construction services, finance, and rental assistance are ongoing. Objective 4, raise new funding to support agency-wide work readiness programs and homeless initiatives. Our update there is eCivis, a grant management software system for government and private foundation grant information, was purchased in June. This, combined with our capital mapping efforts, are two tools that we are using to identify new funding. Between January 1st and June 30th of this year, the Housing Commission has received 11 grant awards of nearly $6 million. Ten of those awards, were renewal awards, and one was a brand new award. Objective 5, strengthen customer service delivery through agency-wide operational efficiency. And the strategy there was to identify opportunities to innovate using technology. Our update, with assistance from IT, a software program with an electronic signature system has been introduced in our rental assistance department, allowing our rental assistance owners to be able to sign housing assistant payment contracts electronically. And not only will this save a lot of trees, but it will allow for a much quicker payment system for some of our most important customers. And our last slide, update B. Inspectors in our rental assistance department are now using software and hardware that allow them to conduct inspections on tablet computers with mobile inspection applications. One of the primary benefits of this implementation is that now we are able to input the required repairs, including a photo of what needs to be repaired, and we're able to upload that onto a real-time online landlord portal, which will be available to our Section 8 landlords in the next few months. And our last update, reengineering of the procure-to-pay system began in August to increase efficiency and reduce redundancies. And as additionally, as you know, the job order contract program has been designed and, as of today, approved by the board for implementation. This program will significantly reduce procurement time and cost for minor maintenance and renovation projects. This concludes our strategic plan update, and our team stands ready to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Commissioner Tessa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you guys did a really nice job with this. You've laid out in the situation what is going on. Clearly, it resonates when we hear that the state resources are diminishing, but the need for affordable housing continues to grow, and that sets the stage for much of what your strategic plan objectives are detailed here. It occurs to me, though, that as we look, whether it's there's a lot of emphasis on pursuing new funding sources, trying to decrease the reliance on traditional funding sources. I get it. That's all good. We talk about advocating for local, state, and federal policies that impact affordable housing. We talk about ensuring that the most effective and cost-efficient business practices are in place for management of the Housing Commission loan portfolio. I see a common theme here on the roadmap that you're drawing here is refining how this operation is ran. And yet, what's missing is the item that we talked about earlier today, and that is how do we deal with what this commission, I think, shares in their concerns for the cost of housing that we're dealing with. And I think that's missing here. And I think that's direction that you're getting from the board here, that we have to address that. You lay it out, and we agree with you, and I think you create a very good roadmap here. But it's something that, I know for me, it's bugged me from the time that I first arrived here. And I'm not convinced that we can't address that issue. We take on much more serious issues, and I'm just not convinced, and maybe I need to be, but I'm not convinced that we can't take that on. So I ask that we address that as well as part of this roadmap.
Well, that is absolutely the direction that we have heard from you today, not just today, but certainly very loudly today. And this is a living document, and we will absolutely make sure that further updates that we give to the board includes that item.
Commissioner Waring?
Yes. Mr. Gentry, one of the things we've talked about a lot is your strategic utilization of what I'm going to call the four units and below buildings that we own. And I understand the complexities of that in terms of operational income versus capturing asset value to leverage into more units. So is part of this plan, because I know you really wanted to think and do that perfectly, is part of this plan to come up with a definitive plan for our, I'll call it near term, which I'm going to define between now and say the year 2020, our near term management of our smaller owned real estate?
The short answer is yes, sir, absolutely. And that's built into part of the real estate facilities review that Debbie spoke about, but we are going to give that. In fact, we're going through a full analysis of that right now and trying to figure out what the approaches we're going to recommend to you. But we'll have a full exposition for that for you by next year.
Next year being?
2000. I know that, Debbie, you think by next summer? Summer of 2015? If not before. And I know that seems like a simple issue, but
okay. I understand the complexities. Yeah. You're not just capturing value, you also have an income component in terms of operational. So I recognize it's multifaceted.
I'll also point out for the board something that is a standard mantra I preach to the staff constantly, and that is this agency has a double bottom line, and we have to understand that double bottom line to succeed. Part of what we do is financial. Part of it is social. And we could succeed at producing nothing as cheaply as possible that would offend nobody in the community. I would also point out that we try to accept the commissioners, of course, sir. But what we're trying to do here is to come up with strategies that better accomplish our mission for the community of San Diego. Mr. Tassin, I hear you and Mr. Waring both strongly. I understand your concerns, and we will address the cost issue as well. I would be less than honest if I told you we were likely to come up with something that might please you, but we will give you answers for sure.
Mr. Spoon?
You know, we may want to consider adding to our goal a fifth objective. It reads very similar to objective number three, but rather than in place for management of the loan portfolio, to create and preserve affordable housing, quality affordable housing. And I think that would address the cost issue. So I would suggest that we add that.
And I believe that as we're looking at our loan portfolio, I think we have to take two different approaches in the sense that almost echoing Commissioner Waring's concerns regarding properties owned, and that is that it's much easier for us to be looking at and managing and monitoring what's happening on our loan portfolio when they're big projects. And to the extent that we have small projects where we have small loans out there, they may sometimes get swept under the rug. So I think we have to look at our approaches there differently as well. Well, this is not an action item. It was an information item. So we thank you very much for the information. Thank you. It is a job well done.
Congratulations, really. It was, I know the work that it took to put this together, and you and your team did a great job, and we very much appreciate it.
Council, I believe this is your session.
Yes, thank you. Since the agenda was published, the need for a closed session has evaporated, so there will be no closed session today.
Thank you very much. In that case, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You got it.
Commissioner Spoon made the motion to adjourn by saying something like, you got it. And was there a second? Commissioner Tussin seconded that motion. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
This meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you.